Samsung Galaxy Note 10 Plus, in PC Magazine on August 20th, by Sasha Segan. Editor's rating, 4 out of 5. Excellent. Manufacturer's suggested retail price, $1,099.99. Lowest price, $1,099.99. On Amazon, $1,099.99, and free shipping. Pros: useful S Pen stylus, top-notch performance, long battery life. Cons: expensive, huge, no headphone jack, confusing 5G situation. Bottom line: the Samsung Galaxy Note 10 Plus is a big, powerful phone that's good for artists and note takers. There's a lot going on with the Galaxy Note 10 Plus, $1,099.99 and up, Samsung's biggest phone. There always is. The Note line is the epitome of Samsung's technology. It's where the company piles all of its features in, with price and size being no object. And I admire it, but I find it hard to love. A lot of this comes down to how many phones Samsung's been slinging out this year with similar features, as well as my own growing lack of patience with $1,000 plus handsets. Ultimately, the Galaxy 10 Plus, $799.99 and up, and the smaller Galaxy Note 10, $949.99, are slightly more affordable ways to get most of what the Note 10 Plus offers for less. The Hand Buster. The Note 10 Plus is 6.39 by 3.04 by 0.31 inches height, width, depth, and 6.91 ounces. It's slightly bigger than the Note 9, 6.37 by 3.01 by 0.35 inches, 7.09 ounces, and noticeably bigger than the S10 Plus, 6.2 by 2.92 by 0.31 inches, 6.17 ounces. It comes in four Aura colors, black, blue, white, and glow, which is a shimmery rainbow effect. All of the colors attract fingerprints like crazy. My Glow review unit looks utterly greasy and flat-out gross after less than a week. There's going to be a theme in this review that you should buy a case, and this is one reason. The Note 10 Plus has a sharply curved 6.8-inch 19x9 screen, so the phone almost comes to a point on the sides. The edges are sharper than the Note 9. Samsung also did away with the separate power and Bixby buttons for a combined power/Bixby key on the left side. Oh, don't worry. You can set it to be primarily a power key, and then you aren't accidentally launching Bixby all the time. The phone has dual speakers, including a beefy one on the bottom face and a nearly invisible one at the very top edge. Also on the bottom, the new S Pen stylus pops out with a touch. Still plastic, the Wacom-powered pen is now unibody, meaning it doesn't have the gold top third the Note 9's pen has. It feels pretty much the same in the hand, though. And yes, the phone doesn't have a headphone jack. That's going to anger a lot of people, especially those who were sucked in by Samsung spending years mocking Apple for doing away with the 3.5mm jack. Samsung includes a pair of USB-C AKG branded earbuds, but no dongle. However, the phone works with generic USB-C to 3.5mm headphone dongles. I've been using a OnePlus 7 Pro for a while, which is about the same size as the Note 10 Plus. Yet the Note 10 Plus feels more unwieldy. After a while, I realized why. When I'm reviewing Note phones, I'm very focused on the S Pen, as it's the feature that separates a Note from from the crowd. And if you're trying to use the S Pen, you need to hold the phone securely with your other hand. That can be difficult with a 3.04-inch wide phone. The phone size feels unwieldy when using the camera, too. I feel that way about the OnePlus 7 Pro as well, for what it's worth. But gripping the phone between my thumb and forefinger horizontally while tapping on the camera UI has always been an issue with Notes. And it's an issue here, too. Now, I have pretty small hands, and I was largely testing the phone with women and teenagers. I know one of our analysts at PC Mag, who has giant paws and swears by phones as wide as possible. But I have to tell you, this thing is at the edge of what a lot of people's hands will be able to handle. The device is waterproof, at least, although it's far from rugged. As with any phone this expensive, I advise getting a case. A beautiful view. The screen is a big reason to come to this big phone. As mentioned, it's a 6.8-inch 19x9 bezel-less panel with a front-facing camera at top center at 3040 by 1440 pixels and 498 pixels per inch. It's actually lower density than older phones like the Samsung Galaxy S8 and Note 8, but not to any degree that you could notice. In general, the Note 10 Plus screen behaves a lot like the S10 Plus screen in terms of brightness, color accuracy, and overall performance. This is good news, as the S10 Plus has an excellent screen. I tested the phone's color accuracy with a Klein K80 colorimeter attached to a Portrait Display's Kalman software and found that its two color profiles are very close to the Galaxy S10s and to the Note 9's adaptive and basic modes. They're all among the best displays out there, and they don't have the oversaturated look we used to see on old Samsung OLEDs. Ray Sonera at DisplayMate Labs goes into more detail with even more advanced lab equipment. Specifically, he says that blue light has been reduced by 37% from the Note 9, while the overall color accuracy hasn't changed. There's also a peak brightness mode used in bright natural light, which goes to 793 nits, 12% better than the Galaxy Note 9 and about the same level as the Galaxy S10 Plus. That said, there's a new wave in screens that I'm a little sorry we're not seeing here. Razer and OnePlus have both gone to 90Hz screens on their leading devices, a move that makes scrolling feel smoother and would increase the responsiveness of drawing apps using the S Pen. I wish Samsung had made that move here, too. There's an ultrasonic in-display fingerprint sensor 2/3 of the way down the screen. While it's accurate if you get your dry, clean finger oriented correctly in the right spot, it suffers from the problems that all in-display fingerprint sensors do right now. There's no physical guide where to put your finger, and it has real trouble with off-angle touches. A better S Pen. In my mind, the S Pen is why you should really come to the Galaxy Note. There's no other phone with a similar feature. The S Pen is an intelligent, active stylus with pressure and tilt detection. If you want to write or draw on another kind of phone, you're stuck with a capacitive or Bluetooth stylus. Capacitive styli, like those on the LG Stylo series, don't have pressure sensitivity, and Bluetooth styli sometimes lag. The S Pen also tucks into a slot built into the phone, which makes it harder to lose than an Apple Pencil. If you're going to use an S Pen, you want to put your phone in a case. Ever since the Note 8 introduced curved screens, I've had some issues with trying to draw on a screen without touching the edge of the curve. A case really helps. I had a professional artist and an experienced Note 8 user separately draw with the S Pen in Samsung Notes, Adobe Sketch, and Autodesk Sketchbook. The Note 10 Pen is definitely more responsive than the Note 8 Pen, with better pressure sensitivity in Samsung Notes. Adobe Sketch developed lag when we added too many layers, though, which is surprising and infuriating on a device with 12 gigabytes of RAM and a 2.8 gigahertz processor. Samsung, let's throw things at the wall approach to software features has popped up here again. It keeps adding new ways to use the S Pen, trying to see if they stick. But they're generally so haphazardly integrated that they fall flat. 2 years ago, it was Live Messages, which let you draw animated messages. It's cool, but was never integrated into any popular messaging program, so few people use it. This year, it's AR Doodle. On paper, the AR Doodle idea is super cool. You can draw persistent augmented reality objects in space and take photos and videos that include them. The problem is that the AR Doodle tools are lousy and there's no eraser. All of the drawing options are these worm-like shiny pipes, and as soon as you make a mistake, you have to start over. That gets old fast. The top complaint, though, is that the phone is just so big it's hard to hold while drawing. That's part of why I'm excited by the smaller Note 10 model, which has the S Pen, but which you can also better grip with one hand. For more writerly types, Samsung Notes also now tries to auto-recognize handwriting and transfers it into Microsoft Word. This is another good idea that doesn't quite work because you can really only write 3 or 4 words on a line, so everything comes out squashed to one side of the document. Still, the note-taking experience on a note is like that on no other phone because you can scribble rather than having to look at a touch keyboard. If handwriting is still automatic to you, which feels like a Gen X proposition, that means you can write while looking at something else, which is a big deal. The S Pen also now works as a remote control for the phone's camera. If you have the phone on a mount, you can switch cameras or change zoom by waving the pen around. I found that less useful than just using the pen's button as a remote shutter, which lets you hold the phone at more distant or daring angles for selfies. The remote shutter feature is on the Note 9 and the smaller Note 10, though, so it isn't unique here. Processor and performance. Once again, like the Galaxy S10 Plus, the Note 10 Plus uses a Qualcomm Snapdragon 855 chipset running at a maximum of 2.8 gigahertz. On processor measures, it benchmarked slightly better than the Galaxy S10 and the OnePlus 7 Pro. We got 9843 on PC Mark and 11180 on Geekbench Multicore. The S10 Plus got 9682 on PC Mark and 11105 on Geekbench, while the other OnePlus got 9828 on PC Mark and 11012 on Geekbench. The OnePlus benchmarked better at web browsing, though, at 481.94 on the Basemark web test compared to 447.54 for the Note and 304.03 for the S10. OnePlus has always been really good at UI optimization, and that shows on the browser benchmark score. iPhones, alas, beat all Android phones when it comes to web browsing efficiency. The iPhone XS Max scores at 537.4 on Basemark Web. On GPU benchmarks, the Note 10 Plus once again performed just like the Galaxy S10 Plus and OnePlus 7 Pro. One thing to note is that you can improve effective graphics performance by turning down the screen resolution. Kicking it from QHD to 1080p, for instance, improves the frame rate, and the GFX Bench Car Chase on-screen test from 23 frames per second to 40 frames per second. The Note 10 Plus has a whopping 12 gigabytes of RAM, which, according to Samsung, lets it cache up to 12 apps. Compare that with the S10 Plus's 8 gigabytes or the OnePlus and Note 9's 6 gigabytes. That said, I haven't had much of a problem finding applications being forced to reload on 6GB and 8GB phones, and even with the 12GB, the Note 10 Plus had trouble handling those layers in Adobe Sketch. The device comes in 256GB and 512GB models, both with a micro SD card slot tucked in by the SIM card. It's important to note the smaller Note 10 doesn't have a micro SD slot. Outside North America, the Note 10 Plus uses a Samsung Exynos 9825 processor and Samsung modem. We didn't test that unit. 4G, calling, and Wi-Fi. The Note 10 Plus and Note 10 have the same 4G modem and abilities as the Galaxy S10. It's based on the Qualcomm X24 modem with all the 4G frequency bands used in the U.S. and support for Category 20 LTE with 7X carrier aggregation and 4x4 MIMO on 5 carriers. That means you'll get better LTE performance than on any previous generation of phone or any iPhone. Performance will be very similar to the S10 Plus. We're working with the same modem, the same antennas, the same software, and pretty much the same body size here. We can use Ookla's speed test intelligence to point out how the S10 Plus compares with the Note 9 and Note 8. And you can see how adding additional levels of carrier aggregation will help speeds. Note Ookla is owned by Ziff Davis, PC Mag's parent company. This Samsung generation also brings new Wi-Fi capabilities. The S10 and Note 10 are among the first mainstream phones to support 802.11ax or Wi-Fi 6, a new standard that improves Wi-Fi speed and range in crowded conditions. To take advantage of that, you'll need an 802.11ax router, and those are expensive right now. But if you intend to keep your phone for 3 years, buying an 802.11ax compatible device is a good idea. At PC Labs, we still have 802.11ac or Wi-Fi 5, which is much more common right now. On both 2.4 GHz and 5 GHz bands, I got slightly longer range by about 15 feet from the router with the Note 10 Plus than the Note 9. This can mean the difference between some connection and no connection in a public Wi-Fi hotspot, for instance. But once again, this is generational, not unique to the Note 10 Plus. Making phone calls in the Note 10 Plus is a great experience, with one little asterisk. The Note 10 Plus, like all Samsung flagships since the S8, supports high-quality calling with the EVS codec, which really improves call quality. But to achieve the bezel-less screen, the earpiece has been moved to the very top edge of the phone. If you're used to placing a phone against your ear, relying on the bezel for the location of the earpiece, the feeling of pressing the edge of the Note 10 Plus against your ear might be a little disconcerting, and it doesn't block quite as much outside noise. The Note 10 Plus's speaker is technically the same volume as the Note 9's, at 85 dB at 6 inches while playing the same song. But the Note 10 Plus sounds noticeably louder to me, which is probably an effect of equalization boosting the mid-range. What about 5G? If you're buying a gigantic $1,100 smartphone, you'd hope that it would be able to take advantage of the latest networks the carriers are laying down, But I'm sorry to say, the Note 10 Plus's 5G situation is a mess. The Note 10 Plus 5G will come to Verizon first for a $200 premium over the standard Note 10. That model uses Qualcomm's first-generation X50 modem, the same as we've seen in other first-gen 5G phones, and it works with Verizon's millimeter wave 5G network in a small number of central cities right now. Verizon's 5G service plan has a perpetually suspended $10 surcharge over its 4G plan, and it includes unlimited 5G data and hotspot use. The biggest concern I have is that all the X50-based phones so far have overheated and dropped to 4G in hot weather. According to experts I've talked to, Verizon could fix this by slowing down 5G data access on the phones. But it may not want to do that so it can keep showing off spectacular speeds. The Note 10 Plus 5G has a vapor chamber cooling system that the S10 5G doesn't have. But the LG V50 also has vapor chamber cooling, and it still has overheating problems. I'll test the Verizon Note Plus 5G in mid-September to see if it overheats. On the other carriers, things are messier. The Note 10 Plus 5G won't be able to use the fast 5G T-Mobile has installed in 6 cities. Instead, it will use a slower, potentially nationwide form of the network that will feel more like good 4G. Ditto for the AT&T model, where the Note 10 won't use any of the speedy millimeter wave the carrier has been touting in 19 cities here, just its upcoming slower nationwide network. On Sprint, the situation is totally unclear. This isn't at all what I'd been hoping for. I come to understand that the Note 10 Plus 5G was going to be the first phone to bring together fast, short-range, millimeter wave 5G and slower, but better covering low-band 5G. That's not the case. That makes the Note 10 Plus 5G a miss. Your phone and your PC. Who is DeX for? Samsung's desktop experience was previously a way to turn your phone into a PC by attaching a keyboard, mouse, and monitor. It was sold as a way to work anywhere without a laptop. The reason it never took off was that keyboards, mice, and monitors aren't that portable, and there isn't much of a business infrastructure of workstations with peripherals, but no PCs. You can still do that here by attaching a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse and a USB-C to HDMI cable. But Samsung rejiggered the entire experience this year. Now, DeX is also a way to use your phone as a virtual machine in a window on your PC or Mac. The obvious use for this is drag-and-drop file transfer. But there are two other potential killer apps. One is business. If you have a secure enclave on your phone protected with Samsung's Knox software, you can now use that data on your laptop within the virtual machine window. But the other use could be much broader. It lets you use messaging and social media apps that don't have good PC clients on your PC. I'm constantly getting text messages and Google Hangouts on my phone, but I keep breaking focus from the work I'm doing on my PC to look at the smaller screen. With DeX, that's fixed. Hangouts work great on DeX. Snapchat and TikTok work surprisingly well. Instagram works fine, except that you can't resize it, so it's stuck in a pretty small sub-window. There are other ways to manage the dual screen life, and Samsung offers one here too. Link to Windows, a lower impact feature of Windows 10 that doesn't open a full virtual machine window, but just integrates SMS and notifications into your Windows desktop. That's all fine if that's all you need. I've tried various other solutions with various other Android phones. Google Messages for Web is cool, but it has to be freshly logged in every time you close your browser window. Ditto for the Google Hangouts Chrome extension. There's a desktop app for Instagram, but it doesn't work well. Popping up your whole phone in a window seems like a clean way to deal with these issues. Camera. Nothing's changed. The Note 10 Plus has four cameras on the back, one in front. They are effectively the same as the one on the Samsung Galaxy S10 5G. On the back, you have a 12-megapixel main camera with 1.4 micron pixels and a lens that switches between f1.5 and f2.4, depending on light. A 12-megapixel f2.1 2x zoom camera, a 16-megapixel f2.2 wide-angle camera, and a time-of-flight sensor for AR applications. The front camera is 10 megapixels. The S10's telephoto camera is f2.4, not f2.1. The Note 9 doesn't have the wide-angle camera or the time-of-flight sensor. The time-of-flight sensor, so far, is not terribly useful. It enables an AR measuring app, but that's about it. In the future, it's supposed to enable a 3D scanner feature that scans objects and then turns them into 3D avatars you can then put into AR screens or even make it act things out via motion capture. But that feature isn't live yet. The S9, Note 9, and S10 all take great-looking pictures in good light, and the Note 10 does too. I'm especially impressed by how sharp the wide-angle lens is at the edges. The OnePlus 7 Pro's wide-angle lens gets really soft in those areas. The Samsung's cameras at this point trail Google and Huawei on low-light performance, and they've made essentially no gains from the S9 to the Note 10 generations. As the lights go down, images get blurry and laden with artifacts. I found that Samsung's night mode essentially turns the brightness up a bit without pulling out many more details. Samsung has added a bunch of interesting filters and effects to this phone, although they'll also bubble down to the S10 generation. I particularly like the color pop effect, also available on Motorola phones, which makes the main subject of an image color while the background is black and white. You can apply color pop and blur filters to videos as well. The phone does very well at finding the edges of a subject for the color pop effect, but it often has trouble with a too shallow virtual depth of field for the background blur effect, especially on the front camera. Google's Pixel phones do a bit better there. With video recording, there's one more flagship feature, an audio zoom effect, that magnifies the sound from a source as you zoom in on it. I tested it zooming on a conversation in a noisy room, and while it isn't magic, it definitely makes the conversation more prominent as you zoom in. Is it a spy cam feature? Borderline. I still couldn't be more than 20 feet or so from the conversation, but I could certainly have used it if I was a private investigator at a restaurant. Coming from a previous Samsung phone, the wide-angle camera may be the biggest change. I really like the wide-angle lenses. They offer a lot of options for composition that you just can't get with a standard lens. But remember, pretty much the same array of cameras is available on the Galaxy S10 Plus and the smaller Note 10 for less money. Charge! The Note 10 Plus has an excellent 4300 milliamp hour battery. I got 12 hours, 10 minutes of video playback at full brightness on a charge, which is excellent. I've had the phone for a few days now, and it's lasted well over a day when I wasn't testing the battery. Samsung has boosted its standard charger to 25 watts, which fills up the battery very quickly. I timed it as nicely filling up from 0 to 100% in 69 minutes. Samsung Galaxy Note 10 Plus charging. A more standard 10-watt charger, most chargers you probably have lying around are 10-watt, takes about 2.5 hours to charge the battery. You can also buy a $50 45-watt charger from Samsung that charges the phone even more quickly. But you pretty much have to use Samsung's branded chargers to achieve these speeds. Don Bader at Android Central explains that Samsung is using an open, but as of now, largely unimplemented standard called USB-C PPS for fast charging. That means most USB cables and existing USB-C PD chargers will not go over 15 watts when charging this phone. Wireless chargers, such as Samsung's $79.99 charging pad, also go up to 15 watts. To get fast charging without the built-in adapter, you need a PPS power adapter and an earmarked USB-C 3.1 V2 cable. So far, we haven't seen many of those, and you can assume the ones you already have don't meet that standard. Should you upgrade? I've been on board with the idea of buying a Note just because it's a big phone. If you want a big phone, there are less expensive, still excellent options out there. The Galaxy S10 Plus and the OnePlus 7 Pro, for example. You can get the S10 Plus for $799.99, which is a $300 difference from the Note 10 Plus. And all you really lose is the S Pen, the video filters, and the new DeX mode. But Samsung tends to have absolutely insane trade-in deals to get people to upgrade. In this case, there's a $350 trade-in value for a Note 8, which is $200 more than you can get selling one on a marketplace like Gazelle. You can get closer by using eBay, but it takes more effort. And Samsung takes really banged up phones, as long as they work and aren't cracked. Samsung's trade-in deals might make up the difference between the Galaxy S10 Plus and the Note 10 Plus for you. To me, the Note series has always been about the S Pen and about people who want to use it, artists, doctors, journalists, and other people who write, draw, notate. Samsung made an effort this year to make the pen important to photographers, but I feel like that's really pushing it. This year, I've been leaning toward the smaller and more affordable phones in the Samsung's flagship lineup. I like the Galaxy S10e more than the S10 Plus, for instance. And while we haven't tested it yet, we know the smaller Note 10 has a lower resolution screen, lacks the micro SD card slot, and has somewhat less RAM. But it has the S Pen, the same processor, and the same cameras as the Note 10 Plus. And it isn't a hand buster. We're getting the smaller Note 10 in for review soon, and we'll decide which of Samsung's Notes is our editor's choice. But if you're looking to buy something right now, we recommend saving some money on any of the aforementioned smaller models.